Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de la región de Murcia. Pruebas específicas de certificación. Comprensión de textos orales. Nivel C1. Convocatoria, septiembre 2019.
Task 1.
How TripAdvisor changed travel. The world's biggest travel site has turned the industry upside down. But now, it's struggling to deal with the same kinds of problems that are vexing other tech giants like Facebook, Google and Twitter. Should one be so unlucky as to find oneself, as I did, lying awake in bed in the early hours of the morning in a hostel in La Paz, Bolivia, listening anxiously to the sound of someone trying to force their way into one's room? One could do worse than to throw a chair under the doorknob as a first line of defence. But this is not what I did. Instead, I held my breath and waited until the intruder, ever so mercifully, abandoned his project and sauntered down the hall. The next morning, when I raised the incident with the hostel employee at the front desk, he said the attempted intrusion had just been an innocent mistake, a misdirected early morning wake-up call gone wrong, and what was the big deal anyway? Fuming, I turned to the highest authority in the world of international travel, the only entity to which every hotel, restaurant, museum and attraction in the world is beholden. I left the hostel a bad review on TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor is where we go to praise, criticise and purchase our way through the inhabited world. It is, at its core, a guestbook. A place where people record the highs and lows of their holiday experiences for the benefit of hotel proprietors and future guests. But this guestbook lives on the internet, where its contributors continue swapping advice, memories and complaints about their journeys long after their vacations have come to an end. Every month, 456 million people, about one in every 16 people on Earth, visit some tentacle of TripAdvisor.com to plan or assess a trip. For virtually every place, there exists a corresponding page. The Rajneeshi Osho International Meditation Resort in Pune, India, has 140 reviews and a 4 out of 5 rating. Cobham Service Station on the M25 has 451 reviews and a rating of 3.5. while Wes Anderson's fictional Grand Budapest Hotel currently has 358 reviews and a rating of 4.5. At the top of the page, there is a message from TripAdvisor This is a fictional place, as seen in the movie The Grand Budapest Hotel. Please do not try to book a visit here. Over its 2 decades in business, TripAdvisor has turned an initial investment of $3 million into a $7 billion business by figuring out how to provide a service that no other tech company has quite mastered. Constantly updated information about every imaginable element of travel, courtesy of an ever-growing army of contributors who provide their services for free. Browsing through TripAdvisor's 660 million reviews is a study in extremes. As a kind of mirror of the world and all its wonders, the site can transport you to the most spectacular landmarks, the finest restaurants, the most adrenaline-pumping water parks, the greatest hop-on, hop-off experiences that mankind has ever devised. Yet TripAdvisor reviews are also a ruthless audit of the Earth's many flaws. For every effusive review of the Eiffel Tower, worth the hype at night, perfect backdrop, there is another that suggests it is a blight on the face of the earth. Sad, ugly, don't bother. Similar to the lobby of a big Vegas casino, but outside. TripAdvisor is to travel, as Google is to search, as Amazon is to books, as Uber is to cabs. So dominant that it is almost a monopoly. Bad reviews can be devastating for business, so proprietors tend to think of them in rather violent terms. How TripAdvisor changed travel. The world's biggest travel site has turned the industry upside down. But now, it's struggling to deal with the same kinds of problems that are vexing other tech giants like Facebook, Google and Twitter. Should one be so unlucky as to find oneself, as I did, lying awake in bed in the early hours of the morning in a hostel in La Paz, Bolivia, listening anxiously to the sound of someone trying to force their way into one's room, one could do worse than to throw a chair under the doorknob as a first line of defence. But this is not what I did. Instead, I held my breath and waited until the intruder, ever so mercifully, abandoned his project and sauntered down the hall. The next morning, when I raised the incident with the hostel employee at the front desk, he said the attempted intrusion had just been an innocent mistake, a misdirected early morning wake-up call gone wrong, and what was the big deal anyway? Fuming, I turned to the highest authority in the world of international travel, the only entity to which every hotel, restaurant, museum and attraction in the world is beholden. I left the hostel a bad review on TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor is where we go to praise, criticise and purchase our way through the inhabited world. It is, at its core, a guestbook. A place where people record the highs and lows of their holiday experiences for the benefit of hotel proprietors and future guests. But this guestbook lives on the internet, where its contributors continue swapping advice, memories and complaints about their journeys long after their vacations have come to an end. Every month, 456 million people, about one in every 16 people on Earth, visit sometentacleoftripadvisor.com to plan or assess a trip. For virtually every place, there exists a corresponding page. The Rajneeshi Osho International Meditation Resort in Pune, India, has 140 reviews and a 4 out of 5 rating. Cobham Service Station on the M25 has 451 reviews and a rating of 3.5. While Wes Anderson's fictional Grand Budapest Hotel currently has 358 reviews and a rating of 4.5. At the top of the page, there is a message from TripAdvisor. This is a fictional place, as seen in the movie The Grand Budapest Hotel. Please do not try to book a visit here. Over its 2 decades in business, TripAdvisor has turned an initial investment of $3 million into a $7 billion business by figuring out how to provide a service that no other tech company has quite mastered. Constantly updated information about every imaginable element of travel, courtesy of an ever-growing army of contributors who provide their services for free. Browsing through TripAdvisor's 660 million reviews is a study in extremes. As a kind of mirror of the world and all its wonders, the site can transport you to the most spectacular landmarks, the finest restaurants, the most adrenaline-pumping water parks, the greatest hop-on, hop-off experiences that mankind has ever devised. Yet TripAdvisor reviews are also a ruthless audit of the Earth's many flaws. For every effusive review of the Eiffel Tower, worth the hype at night, perfect backdrop, there is another that suggests it is a blight on the face of the Earth. Sad, ugly, don't bother. Similar to the lobby of a big Vegas casino, but outside. TripAdvisor is to travel as Google is to search, as Amazon is to books, as Uber is to cabs. So dominant that it is almost a monopoly. Bad reviews can be devastating for business, so proprietors tend to think of them in rather violent terms.
Task 2.
How is your toe? Because you told our Ross King that you had arthritis in your toe. Are you something
so,
because of the
please
toe?
Don't zoom in close on my feet.
We won't. We're not going to.
I've got very big feet, which everyone knows. But no, I did very annoyingly, because I'm quite an active person, but because my character Alex injures herself very badly, but one of the injuries is her leg is just smashed to pieces. So the whole film, I'm limping. So when I was loading all of my weight into my right leg on the shoot and limping throughout. Mm. And it just, the wear and the tear, and I've got arthritis in my big toe.
Oh, no.
See, it means I have to do yoga in trainers.
Yes.
So people look at me like I'm a bit weird. Never mind. Doesn't matter.
You suffer for your art.
Well,
you do. You absolutely do.
Sometimes you do.
I liked her. I thought she was amazing. She was fearless.
Yeah, I mean, because...
really interesting.
Because these two characters, they survive a small plane crash, and they are complete strangers. And actually, they don't get along initially. They really don't like each other at all. But my character, Alex, her job, she's a photojournalist, so she's been in quite extreme circumstances and environments before. She's been in war zones, she's photographed guerrilla fighters, and so actually she's no stranger to extreme scenarios, and she knows how to cope when the chips are down and she has to just rely on herself. And Ben's way, Idris's character, he's a neurosurgeon, so he's a lot more cautious because he knows that, you know, the slip of a knife and you can ruin someone's life. Mm. So he doesn't want to leave the plane. He wants search and rescue to just come and find them, and Alex is like,
No,
we've
got to go.
We have to get out of here. We've got to go. So she does, you're right, she does very much lead the way, and she's determined, and she's brave, but at the same time she does admit when she's scared. And I like that about her too. You know, she isn't just that sort of reckless, brazen person. She has that air of caution as well, but she does want to survive, and she's prepared to take that risk.
No, absolutely. And we saw you in the water, freezing cold, sort of harkening back 20 years ago. The same thing happened in Titanic.
I know.
Can you believe that's 20 years?
I can, because I've lived with it for 20 years. but the lovely thing about Titanic for me now is that, you know, my children and their friends, you know, their friends say, oh, I love the bit in Titanic when you did. And they are reciting lines from Titanic that, I mean, I've long forgotten. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, is that really what I said? They're like, oh, yeah. And then Jack does this and then Rose does this. I'm like, oh, my God. But, you know, I say to them, you know, you weren't born when that film was made, which makes me feel very old.
Yeah.
But yes, you know, it was a very long time ago, and there's another generation of children who are enjoying it and loving it for the first time. And
it's one of those movies that will always, every generation.
Yes, like Mary Poppins, I like to think.
Exactly.
Just like Mary Poppins.
Absolutely, exactly. And you and Leonardo DiCaprio are still pals, because you meet so many people in your life, but you two just clicked.
Yeah,
just
we did. I think for Leo and I, it was 7 months of very intense work. We were both really very young, and luckily, and this is the fortunate thing, we never fancied each other.
Right.
I know, that's really annoying to hear. I'm sorry. But we really never did. And so it did mean that we were just able to have this, you know...
pals.
Yeah, and be able to tease each other, and which we still do. And, you know, so it's really amazing.
Very strong, strong friendship, which is fantastic. Yes. I love that you keep your Oscar in the toilet.
Yes. And do you...
How is your toe? Because you told our Ross King that you had arthritis in your toe. Are you something because of the
please
cold?
Don't zoom in close on my feet.
We won't. I've got very big feet, which everyone knows. But no, I did very annoyingly, because I'm quite an active person. But because my character Alex injures herself very badly, but one of the injuries is her leg is just smashed to pieces. So the whole film, I'm limping. So when I was loading all of my weight into my right leg on the shoot and limping throughout, and it just the wear and the tear, and I've got arthritis in my big toe.
Oh, no.
See what it means? I have to do yoga in trainers.
Yes.
So people look at me like I'm a bit weird. Never mind. Doesn't matter.
You suffer for your art.
Well,
you do. You know,
you
absolutely do.
Sometimes you do.
I liked her. I thought she was amazing. She was fearless.
Yeah, I mean, because
really interesting.
Because these two characters, they survive a small plane crash, and they are complete strangers. And actually, they don't get along initially. They really don't like each other at all. But my character, Alex, her job, she's a photojournalist, so she's been in quite extreme circumstances and environments before. She's been in war zones. She's photographed guerrilla fighters, and so actually, she's no stranger to extreme scenarios, and she knows how to cope when the chips are down and she has to just rely on herself. And Ben's way, Idris's character, he's a neurosurgeon, so he's a lot more cautious because he knows that, you know, the slip of a knife and you can ruin someone's life. Mm. So he doesn't want to leave the plane. He wants search and rescue to just come and find them. And Alex is like,
nope,
no,
we've got to go.
We have to get out of here. We've got to go. So she does. You're right. She does very much lead the way, and she's determined, and she's brave, but at the same time, she does admit when she's scared. And I like that about her too. You know, she isn't just that sort of reckless, brazen person. She has that air of caution as well, but she does want to survive, and she's prepared to take that risk.
No, absolutely. And we saw you in the water, freezing cold, sort of harkening back 20 years ago. The same thing happened in Titanic.
I know.
Can you believe that's 20 years?
I can, because I've lived with it for 20 years. but the lovely thing about Titanic for me now is that, you know, my children and their friends, you know, their friends say, oh, I love the bit in Titanic when you did. And they are reciting lines from Titanic that, I mean, I've long forgotten. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, is that really what I said? They're like, oh, yeah. And then Jack does this and then Rose does this. I'm like, oh, my God. But, you know, I say to them, you know, you weren't born when that film was made, which makes me feel very old.
Yeah.
But yes, you know, it was a very long time ago, and there's another generation of children who are enjoying it
and
loving it for the first time. And
it's one of those movies that will always, every generation.
Yes, like Mary Poppins, I like to think.
Exactly.
Just like Mary Poppins.
Absolutely, exactly. And you and Leonardo DiCaprio are still pals, because
you
meet so many people in your life, but you two just clicked.
Yeah,
just
we clicked. Did. I think for Leo and I, it was 7 months of very intense work. We were both really very young, and luckily, and this is the fortunate thing, we never fancied each other.
Right.
I know that's really annoying to hear. I'm sorry. But we really never did. And so it did mean that we were just able to have this, you know,
pals.
Yeah. And be able to tease each other, and which we still do. And, you know, so it's really amazing.
Very strong, strong friendship, which is fantastic. Yes. I love that you keep your Oscar in the toilet.
Yes. And do you...
task 3.
Hello world. Here in Finland, all is lost. Finns have fallen into a melancholy state. We are on the brink of an abyss. Annihilation. But let us be the one to remind you that we are also very successful in some things, and among the lucky ones in the world. Here is what the Finns have invented. The lever axe, the dish draining closet, xylitol, the text message, the heart rate monitor, the Moomins, child welfare clinics, the maternity pack, Linux operating system, the sledge, the ball chair, internet relay chat, margarine that lowers cholesterol. We are top in gender equality in Europe. 25% of board members in Finnish companies are women. We are the best country for mothers right after Norway and the best country for working women. Some say our country is simply the best in the world. We were the first to make free school meals available to everyone. Finnish is one of the few languages in the world that has only one word for gender, hän. No need for he or she. Our language is one of the most difficult ones in the world. Don't even get us started on inflected forms. We speak it fluently. And what a beautiful language it is. Why else would Mr. Tolkien have used Finnish and the Finnish national epic Kalevala to build new languages for the Lord of the Rings? And Saippua Kivi Kauppias, that's the world's longest single word palindrome. In Europe, it's the Finnish people who have the most living space around them, and despite statements to the contrary, our youth are doing just fine. In Finland, the number of homicides, drunk drivings, thefts, traffic accidents, drownings and suicides continue to fall. We have the longest statutory rights to paid vacations in the world, and also very few inmates. Oh, and Nokia. We were really proud of that, but we're still doing quite nicely when it comes to the technology industry. In proportion to our population, we have the highest number of mobile subscriptions in the world, as well as ICT experts and digital health startups. We are number 3 in Europe in making patent applications, in other words, inventions. Finland is the least corrupted country in the world, and Helsinki is the most honest capital. We also know how to read. Finns read more library books than anyone else in the world. In proportion to our population, we have the highest number of published periodical magazines in the world, and third highest number of newspapers, and we're number 1 in press freedom. No other country has as many heavy metal bands as us, and now we are the first country to ever publish our very own set of national emojis. Of course, that is the heavy metal guy. No other country drinks as much coffee or milk as we do. When someone else gets just a diploma, a Finnish doctor gets a top hat and a sword. Finnish guy Isbo Leikola has been selected the funniest person in the world. Every Finn knows how to draw Helsinki's subway map. Beat that, New Yorkers! We have Tom of Finland. We are the best in recycling our bottles and cans, and percentage-wise, we have the largest forests in the whole of Europe. We know how to throw boots and carry our wives. So let's be proud. Go, Finland!
Hello world. Here in Finland, all is lost. Finns have fallen into a melancholy state. We are on the brink of an abyss. Annihilation. But let us be the one to remind you that we are also very successful in some things, and among the lucky ones in the world. Here is what the Finns have invented. The lever axe, the dish draining closet, xylitol, the text message, the heart rate monitor, the Moomins, child welfare clinics, the maternity pack, Linux operating system, the sledge, the ball chair, internet relay chat, margarine that lowers cholesterol. We are top in gender equality in Europe. 25% of board members in Finnish companies are women. We are the best country for mothers right after Norway and the best country for working women. Some say our country is simply the best in the world. We were the first to make free school meals available to everyone. Finnish is one of the few languages in the world that has only one word for gender, hän. No need for he or she. Our language is one of the most difficult ones in the world. Don't even get us started on inflected forms. We speak it fluently. And what a beautiful language it is. Why else would Mr. Tolkien have used Finnish and the Finnish national epic Kalevala to build new languages for the Lord of the Rings? And Saippua Kivikauppias, that's the world's longest single word palindrome. In Europe, it's the Finnish people who have the most living space around them, and despite statements to the contrary, our youth are doing just fine. In Finland, the number of homicides, drunk drivings, thefts, traffic accidents, drownings and suicides continue to fall. We have the longest statutory rights to paid vacations in the world, and also very few inmates. Oh, and Nokia. We were really proud of that, but we're still doing quite nicely when it comes to the technology industry. In proportion to our population, we have the highest number of mobile subscriptions in the world, as well as ICT experts and digital health startups. We are number three in Europe in making patent applications, in other words, inventions. Finland is the least corrupted country in the world, and Helsinki is the most honest capital. We also know how to read. Finns read more library books than anyone else in the world. In proportion to our population, we have the highest number of published periodical magazines in the world, and third highest number of newspapers, and we're number one in press freedom. No other country has as many heavy metal bands as us, and now we are the first country to ever publish our very own set of national emojis. Of course, that is the heavy metal guy. No other country drinks as much coffee or milk as we do. When someone else gets just a diploma, a Finnish doctor gets a top hat and a sword. Finnish guy Isbo Leikola has been selected the funniest person in the world. Every Finn knows how to draw Helsinki's subway map. Beat that, New Yorkers! We have Tom of Finland. We are the best in recycling our bottles and cans, and percentage-wise, we have the largest forests in the whole of Europe. We know how to throw boots and carry our wives. So let's be proud. Go, Finland!
Fin de la prueba.